Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of About Abroad, where it's my job to introduce you to people who have built amazing lives for themselves in various foreign corners of the globe. We're talking with expats and thought leaders about moving abroad, remote work, visas, and all the fun and practical knowledge that you need to know to follow in their footsteps. If you've ever dreamed of making a life for yourself overseas, maybe working remotely or embracing long-term travel, retiring or studying abroad, or even just taking a peek inside life beyond your borders, you've landed in the right place. My guest today is Andrea Valeria. She is the founder of It's a Travel OD, which, as you might guess, is all about traveling, but more specifically about remote work and how to leverage your skills to find remote jobs that fit your profile. But not only that, she's an experienced expat as well. She's from Panama, currently living in Mexico City. So we dive deep into life in Mexico and Mexico City in particular. And then also she has experienced living in the U.S. from Hawaii to Missouri and various places in between, and has leveraged a few different opportunities to build a life abroad in different countries. So she had a lot of experience to share on being an expat, moving to different countries, the ways in which you can stay, and then also, of course, finding remote work. And not just tech skill-based remote work, but remote work based on interpersonal skills and other opportunities that you have to find remote jobs. So anyway, I found her content super compelling and very interesting, applicable to this show for sure, and I was excited to have her on. So please help me in welcoming Andrea to About Abroad. Hey, Andrea, welcome to About Abroad. How are you?
I'm so happy to be here, ready to talk a little bit about my journey.
I think people are going to be interested to hear it. As I just mentioned to you before we started recording, like, I've been a huge fan of the content you put out about your journey and remote work and immigrating to other countries. It's just like, when I first started following you, I was like, this is perfect for the show. I have to get her on.
Those are all a little bit of the things that I love, literally traveling, creating content, working remotely, and I merge all my passions into my social media. So thank you for being there and following me.
You're welcome. While we're on that note, we can recap this at the end and throw it in the show notes. But while people are listening and on their phones, they can go ahead and find you. What's the handles to track down?
It's a travel OD, as in it's a travel overdose. I started traveling a lot over 5 years ago when I started being like a digital nomad. And I was like, I'm overdosing in travel. So it's a travel OD everywhere. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, everything.
Awesome. Yeah, please go follow everybody. You will not be disappointed. The energy that you portray and like the fun way you approach it, like it's not just like boring lists of like, here's how you get a remote job. Here's how you move to this place. It's like fun and vibrant and energetic, and I love it.
Thank you.
So where are you right now?
So right now I am in Mexico City. This has been my home base for like 2 years now. I used to be here, live here, and then from here travel. I used to do a lot of retreats and projects, like great collaborations with travel agencies and things like that. But now, since everything has changed, this is just my home base, and I have been mostly here since everything started. But I love it. This is a very convenient city, and I'm glad I have been here for all of this.
Yeah, I think Mexico City sounds so interesting. Like, I would love to give people a little peek behind the curtain on what life is like in Mexico City, whether that be for, I mean, not just as a, you're not from Mexico, and we'll talk about your journey to get there in a second, but like, just, you know, as a foreigner, and then maybe even not so much as a foreigner, like, what's life like in Mexico City?
Well, the first time I came here was over 4 years ago, maybe. And I remember the first day I was here, everyone was so nice. I was like, is this normal? So that is one of the things that attracted me to the city. People are really welcome to other people, to foreigners. And that doesn't happen in every country. So that was something that immediately got me like falling in love with this city real quick. And it's the customer service is great. That's one of the little things that I appreciate about a place that doesn't happen everywhere. And it's very convenient. So I remember living in little towns around Latin America that you just couldn't get delivery and little things like that, or you couldn't get Uber or something like that. But here in Mexico City, everything is so easy, from delivery to Ubers. And right now with the pandemic, I'm so happy that the delivery system is like that, because I just get everything delivered. So little things like that are just things that I really love about this city. And it's just beautiful. There's so many different restaurants, things to do whenever everything is open. There's live concerts all the time, and it's so lively. So I just love this city.
It's a vibrant place, right? Like it's alive.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's very heavily populated, yeah. But also it's very interesting that there's so much greenery, so many parks all around the city. So it's a really good mix of just like huge city with like nature and everything. It's a really good like balance.
Yeah. Is there nature close by, as in like, can you quickly access mountains or parks or something? Like if you want to get out of the city and truly get into nature, is that accessible, or what's right beyond the city limits?
Yes, absolutely. So it's a huge country, so whatever you want to do, you'll find it. Beaches, that is not so close to Mexico City. The closest one would be like 5 hours away, and it's not like the prettiest. But if you want to do like mountains and all of those things, like mountain biking and flying, those like paragliding, it's called.
Yeah.
They have all of that like 2 hours away. And I was recently there, and they had like cabins and a bunch of activities and lakes and everything in a place called Valle del Bravo. And there's a lot of expats and people moving there lately too. So yeah, there is so much things to do. And also the flights all over the country, are very accessible. So if you want to just travel around flying, it's very easy to do once you're here.
Sounds like a good place for like a home base. If you want all the conveniences of a city, but also you want to hop around and see other parts. Like when you think of Mexico, you're thinking of these adorable like pueblos and like beautiful beaches and Caribbean and all that. And so like you can go have all that. It's accessible, but live in the convenience of the city.
Yes, absolutely. I really enjoy it. And also for someone, if you're coming from the US, because I used to live in the US, and then I started traveling around Latin America. This is one of the places where I lived after the US. So of course, the cost of living was significantly lower. So I was happy about that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I tend to think of it as such a metropolis that like maybe that dissipates a little bit. Like it's not going to be so inexpensive, but that's very noticeable.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, you can go ahead and live in like Condesa and Polanco, which are the expat neighborhoods. And they are the nicer neighborhoods of the city. But if you go and you find a place that has more locals, and it's a little bit more like just the regular living of Mexico, people from Mexico City, it's going to be even more accessible, and you're going to have a lot more access to just like the local culture, which is, in my opinion, a lot more exciting than just living around a place where you'll hear a bunch of people speaking English. And so I'm like, wait, where am I?
Yeah, I never get that. Like if you're going to move to another country, and most people that would be listening to this, like presumably if they're considering Mexico City or if it's on the map, like you probably want to go and get into the culture. Like what's the point in like moving to a little America or something and just being surrounded by the same people? Like go get some perspective.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I love moving to places and actually feeling like local. Like, of course, I want to do all the sightseeing and I want to do the fun stuff the first few weeks. But after a while, I actually really want to have a little bit of a routine, especially when you're moving and you're like in different countries. You want to have a sense of like normalcy and just like not just traveling all the time, because that would be a little bit weird. I was a digital nomad for a while, like moving every month, and that was exhausting. That was a little bit too much, and it just didn't give me enough time to like both sightsee and work, because as a digital nomad or a remote worker, you still want to work even though you are traveling, right? So yeah, I like to find things that are more normal, more local.
Yeah. And I think even like taking that a step further, I feel like you want to work at a high level, right? Like you want to feel good about your work, not like you're just like squeezing it in and, you know, like just fitting it into your day. You want to be like, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to do a good job. It makes you feel good to do that. And then you can move on and go thoroughly enjoy diving into the culture of your new home.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's one of the mistakes that a lot of people make when they are new remote workers. Because, of course, all the flexibility and the freedom, they're like, oh, I'm going to work while traveling. This means that I'm going to work 4 hours a week.
Yeah.
But that is not the case. That is not real, especially not when you're starting. You probably don't have enough sources of passive income to do that. So you definitely want to have kind of like a normal life, even if you are traveling or moving abroad.
Yeah, yeah, I think the moving all the time thing is, for me personally, like also overrated. I did like the same as you, bouncing around month to month. And then after a while that became like 3 months, and then it was 6 months. And then it was like, okay, I just want to be in one place and travel from here every now and then.
Yeah,
and
it's definitely a fun thing to try for a little bit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it, but if anyone wants to try it, you can go ahead. If you're exhausted 6 months later, please send me a DM on Instagram and be like, yeah, you were right.
you mentioned this a second ago. I meant to follow up with you on it. So the expat community in Mexico City, is it pretty like, do you feel like you can tap into a local expat community if you want to, or it's there, it's accessible, or is it on the other end of the spectrum and overwhelming?
It's definitely there. And I always recommend Facebook groups if you want to go and meet other digital nomads or other expats. There you have activities and things going on all the time. I usually, when I travel, I am not that interested in the expat community. I kind of want to meet people from Mexico City.
Yeah.
So like all my friends here are from here. My boyfriend is from Mexico City. So at this point I eat spicy things and everything. So I am pretty much Mexican.
You've really embraced the culture. Yeah, I have the Absolutely. Same perspective. That's what makes it fun, right? Like you get deep into the culture. So that's awesome. So you say that, you say, oh, I'm pretty much Mexican, but you are actually originally from Panama, correct?
Yes, I am from Panama City, Panama. I was born and raised there. And then I moved to the US for college. So I studied there communications, and then I stayed for like 4 more years. My first job out of college was as a TV news reporter in Tampa Bay, Florida.
No way. So, where did you go to college?
I went to college in Missouri. So Lindenwood University in St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow. How did you find that? That's so interesting. Like what took you from Panama City, this thriving metropolis, to a little town in Missouri?
Yeah. So actually that university had an agreement with the education department of Panama. So I got a scholarship and they were like, you can pick from these 3 universities. And I had never heard of any other places. I was 17. I was very confused. And I was like, this one looks cool. I don't know. And I just went there. I didn't know much about it, but it was cool. It was like a college town. There were so many international students. And I think that's what I appreciate most about that college. Literally every single time I go visit a place in my travel, since I've been traveling, I can absolutely find someone that I went to college with.
So wow.
It has happened everywhere. I have actually been walking around different places. It has happened to me in Argentina. It has happened to me in Uruguay. And one time in France, I was like walking around and I suddenly saw someone that I went to college with. So
that's the coolest thing in the world. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's definitely something I appreciate a lot. So even though I was like in Missouri, in this little town, in a college town where I didn't know anything, and it was like snowing when I first got there, which was a big change from Panama, I really enjoyed it. It was definitely cool. So then from there, I went to Tampa and I was a TV news reporter there for a year. And I was covering a lot of like crime and politics. So my dream of being a TV news reporter and getting ready for TV and all of that was quickly shattered when it was more about like covering these horrible stories all every day.
That could be
And it was
depressing, right?
I was just gonna say the same word. It was absolutely depressing. I remember in my year working there in December, I covered murder, and then December 25th, so Christmas, and then New Year's, I was covering the funeral of that murder. And I was like, wait, I do not want to continue doing this. So,
This is not how I plan to spend my Christmases.
yes, no.
I'm curious, like for you coming from Panama, had you before I ask this question, had you lived in other places before? Like you lived in Panama in the US? Was that it at that point?
At that point, yes, I traveled, but like little family trips. But no, when I moved to the US, I was 17 and I had lived in Panama my whole life. So,
That's a huge step and probably prepared you for a life of traveling and exploring other places later. But I wonder if as a news like you're covering these shows or these situations in Tampa, like coming from Panama, was that like shocking? Like these kind of things, like you're talking about murders and intense violence. Like was this like I'm not accustomed to this kind of thing, or was it like, oh, I know this, I'm okay with this, but like it happens to be my job now, and that's weird.
well, you just have to like develop a thick skin really quickly while on the job whenever you're covering those things, because at that point everyone was more experienced than me. I was like 21 and covering all of this next to the reporters that had been doing it for 10 years. So I remember in one of those funerals that I was covering, it was so sad because it was someone like my age and it was like a big part of the community, whatever. And I was behind the camera like trying not to cry, and there were like these big reporters around me like just looking at me like this little girl, what's like she's new, clearly.
You'll get used to it. We've been covering murders for years.
Right. So
God.
what I did was like, wait, I'm not gonna get used to it. This is depressing. So I stopped doing that and I took a sabbatical year first and I moved to Miami. And I was just like living life, partying, traveling, and I don't know, that's what I decided to do to take a break from all of that. But then I actually went and got my master's degree in Orlando, Florida, and it was in entertainment business. And that's when I started learning even more about things like digital marketing, self-publishing, entertainment law, all of these really cool things that I definitely use now, like in my career. And while I was doing that, I also started vlogging, like video blogging. And that is really when all my like love for content creation really like went to the next level. So I was doing my master's degree and starting like a YouTube channel. Then I remember the first time someone contacted me via LinkedIn. They were like, hey, our budget is $400. Can you make four video blogs about this? And I mean, at that point, I had been vlogging for like 6 months, and I was like, this is so exciting. Yes, absolutely.
You'd be like, I'm rich. You're throwing money,
Yes.
dollar bills
And
up in the air.
I was so excited. I was like, wait, they're really paying me to make vlogs that I make for free and here in my living room. This is great. Like that was my first taste of really like doing what you love and getting paid for it. So, yes, that was like the start of my content creation days.
Well, yeah, let's go deeper into your career. What is your tell everybody like what do you do today for to support this awesome lifestyle?
Yeah, so right now I am a remote work specialist and I am a content creator too. So I educate people, inspire them, motivate them all through the content that I put out. So a bunch of free resources, like I have a remote job directory in which people can go and find their next remote job. And I have paid services and products. So for example, I have a book that's on Amazon. I also have services like I help people remotify their resume. So I help them get it ready for remote job applications. And then I also have a course called Land Your First Remote Job to help people from like the very beginning to actually landing their first job. So I provide all services and content around that.
So cool. It's such a I was thinking this before we started talking, like, it's so, I mean, I review a lot of resumes in my day job, and we're a team that's growing, and so many people want to work remotely. Like, I don't want to say everyone, because it's not for everyone, but like right. A very high percentage of people would choose flexibility over not flexibility. And so you get resumes from people with all sorts of backgrounds and all sorts of experience. And one thing that shines through very clearly is like when someone has never worked remotely, and like just words, buzzwords you can use, and the way you communicate. And yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be like a digital nomad type or a very techie person. Like, we can be talking about soft skill type jobs, but often people just lack the like way to convey that. And I think you help people create that messaging.
Yeah, absolutely. Because a lot of people don't realize it, but they do have transferable skills. Like, there are things that we do in any job that can be transferred over to remote jobs. And also there are ways to, of course, talk about your soft skills that relate to remote jobs, or the tools that you know, or the skills that you might have, of course. So a lot of times people are literally just one good resume away from their first remote job, and they don't know how to make it. So yeah. I like to help them out with that. And of course, with where to find the jobs, how to avoid online scams, all those things that seem very basic for people like us who have been working remotely for a while are, of course, very new and very different from someone who is an aspiring remote worker. So I like to help them with the whole process.
You mentioned the soft skills are transferable to a remote job. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I think one of the questions I get multiple times per week, I would say, through email or LinkedIn or just conversations with people, like they'll say, I don't have remote work skills. You know, I'm not an engineer. I'm not a social media guru. I'm not very tech savvy, you know. And one of the things I really enjoy about doing this show is talking with people who have the experience of bringing in other elements and utilizing those soft skills and finding remote work through this like less than obvious path. Right. Maybe that resonates with me because I kind of put myself in that box too. Like, I've developed some of those skills that if I needed to apply for my job today, I kind of have them now. But like when I first started, I didn't. And I had to figure out how to get my foot in the door to get to that level, I guess. So yeah, if you can elaborate on that, like, I think that could probably be really helpful for some people.
Absolutely. So I think there are a lot of misconceptions about remote work. And one is that you need previous remote experience to get started. And that usually stops a lot of people from even applying to remote jobs. So as long as you have soft skills, which are like personality traits or things that would allow you to work remotely comfortably. So for example, if you're able to work under minimal supervision, that's a good sign. Some people need to have their boss or supervisor there all the time and helping them. If that's the kind of person you are, remote work will probably not be for you, because you won't have access to asking the person next to you, hey, how do you do this? So you need definitely to be very resourceful, comfortable with Googling to find solutions to your problems. So if you're the kind of person that likes to find solutions on Google, good, you're on the right path. But if you need to be asking questions constantly, also, if you like having that like environment and community and like work family and going to barbecues after work and going to happy hour after work, you won't have that. So if it's in your personality to have all of that, then of course you need to adapt to this new lifestyle. Or maybe you don't need to adapt. Maybe you say remote work is not for me because I want to go into an office and have that community. So yeah, there are a few things like that that are more like personality wise. Like, are you going to be able to sit in front of a computer for 8 hours a day? If you're like, no, I hate computers, I just can't do it, I'm like, okay, then this might not work for you. are you willing to learn new software, new programs, new tools? In remote work, it happens all the time. Like, there's new things popping up all the time. And if your company that you're working for decides that they want to implement it and you're like, oh no, I can't do that, then that's not going to work. Yeah. So being willing to learn new skills, tools, and if you are able to pick them up, all those are little things that are very necessary to work remotely. Also, if you have like attention to detail, a lot of people miss out on their jobs that they're applying to because they can't follow instructions. And the job application said, send your resume in a PDF, and they send it as a Word document, and that's it, you're out. So there are things that you definitely need to pay attention to when applying to remote jobs, because that is how a recruiter might be like, okay, I can already see that this person is not reading and following instructions, so no, I'm not going to hire them. So yeah, if some of those things that I just mentioned resonate with you, you're like, okay, yeah, that sounds like me, I think I could do it, then definitely something that you could try. And also, there's another misconception that there is about remote work, is that you need to be like a coder or programmer, an engineer, or social media person. And they're like, I don't do any of those four. I don't have a big social media following. I don't like to blog. That's not for me. But there are companies like the one you work for that are fully remote. So that means that everyone in that company, from the HR person to the accountant to the social media person to just everyone in the company, works remotely. So it doesn't matter what kind of education or background or experience you have. There's going to be a job out there for you in which you do not need to change industries or learn something completely new. You just have to learn the tools to do your same job that you've been doing, but do it remotely. So that is something that scares a lot of people. They're like, there's no way I can get a following of 10,000 to work remotely. And I'm like, no. What do you need that for? So yes, definitely a lot of things scaring people away, but it's just because they don't really know how it works, and they don't know what it entails. And they're like, remote worker, travel blogger. I can't do that. So yeah.
I'm never going to be a travel blogger. I can't work remote. That's the end.
No, and that is literally something I hear all the time.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. I think you've made so many good points, and I wish that everybody that was applying to a job at Doist would take some of your advice beforehand, because it would make my job a lot easier. We'll be right back to the show after a quick break for a note from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by my friends over at Lexity. I've lived abroad in various countries, and one common denominator I've found is that dealing with foreign bureaucracy is a nightmare. Trying to navigate visa and immigration waters in another language is not something I'd recommend ever trying on your own, even for the most experienced of us. So when I recently had to renew my Spanish visa again, I turned it over to the pros at Lexity. They've already helped more than 5,000 expats and digital nomads find a home and thrive in countries like Portugal, or in my case, Spain, also Italy, France, and Greece. Some very desirable locations indeed. So whether you're trying to obtain your first visa abroad, purchase a property, or work through international tax issues, Lexity's team of friendly lawyers is here to simplify your journey. The team is super knowledgeable, bilingual, and thorough, and I seriously cannot recommend their services enough. My experience working with them has been incredible, and I can honestly say I don't know that I would have EU permanent residency if it wasn't for the help of the team at Lexity. So if you're ready to make your move abroad, then Lexity is offering an exclusive discount to About Abroad listeners. Grab 10% off your first service with the code AboutAbroad2023 and learn more over at Lexity.com in the show notes, and start your abroad journey today. If you've made it this far into the episode and you're still enjoying yourself, then I would love to ask a quick favor. Open up the app that you're using to listen to this podcast and leave a quick review. You can do this in Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and really just about any platform that allows podcast listening now. If you can't find that in the interface of the app, then scroll down in the show notes and find ratethispodcast.com/aboutabroad, and you should be able to leave it from there. Thanks so much, guys. We really appreciate it and hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
One thing that I find really interesting is, like, you said this, and this is what a lot of people don't know, is like all these tech companies that have, you know, you think, oh, it's a tech company, they're all remote, that's cool, but like, I'm not a tech person.
Right.
As you just said, like, there's HR jobs, there's sales jobs, there's accounting jobs, and actually, like, there's support jobs. Support's huge. Support takes so many bodies. And if you have interpersonal skills, you can find a job in support at so many of these companies. And then if you take some of the advice that you're giving and like convey in your application that you're a good communicator, that you follow the instructions, that you're able to be a self-starter, you can sell yourself as a perfect fit for that kind of job and then be working from wherever you want in the world.
Absolutely. And yeah, people are like, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too that. But it's just like in the real world, there are jobs for everyone. Like remote work is not just a bubble in the internet in which you have to be some kind of person. There are jobs for everyone. So every time someone tells me that they don't know if there would be a job out there for them, I'm like, hey, and I'm going to plug my remote job directory here. I'm like, hey, you should check out my remote job directory so that you can see all the different industries in which I have jobs listed on there. So you literally find things from sales, customer service, accounting, social media, marketing, everything. So yeah. So yeah, don't be scared if you think like, oh, I can't do it, because whatever, you probably can.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I like to mention like my transition to Duist, actually, like I came from although I was working remotely like my whole career, I still came from like a more traditional type of setting where like I was shaking a lot of hands and seeing a lot of people face to face. And I would go to the office sometimes and we had team happy hours and stuff like that. So like I came from more of that world and also had that worry about like, can I transition into this world where like, you know, like there's none of that, like very little, like once a year we might all get together and right. I'm never going to see a person face to face except for like over a Zoom meeting every now and then, you know, like do I have the skills? But like I got into the marketing team, which I had previously been in marketing, and like managing a team which like was doing some of the stuff, like the exact same stuff that I was doing before on the ground, you know, meeting people face to face, but this was just virtually. And the way the skills transitioned over, I was like, this is actually really seamless. But I definitely had this blocker up in my mind, like I'm not sure if I have the skills for this. And I think it's normal to doubt yourself a little bit, but it's really cool that it's becoming so much normal now. Like remote jobs are popping up left and right. Companies are transitioning to remote, embracing location independence. And this like wave is just swelling as we speak. So there's just so many more opportunities. I just try to encourage as many people, like give it a shot, you know, don't doubt yourself before you get there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that mindset is probably like 50% of the game here. Like if you think that you are going to be able to work remotely, you're already halfway there. So yeah. These people that come to me and they're like, but I don't have the experience, but I don't think I can do it, but how will they pay me, because I am in Mexico and I don't know if they're accept the bank that I have. And I'm like, whoa, there's so many excuses that you just put out, and I see a lot of like negativity. So first we need to work on your mindset that you are going to be able to work remotely and that you're going to be able to like work through all those little obstacles. And those are not even obstacles, those you just get on Google and find what's the best way to get paid if you're a remote worker in Mexico, and yeah,
so you'll have 20 links telling you.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, people definitely like to put out a lot of excuses and reasons why they might not be able to, and I usually love receiving those people that are like, I want to do it, teach me how, let's do it, because then I don't have to like, you know, go through the little things, the excuses and all of that.
yeah. Like, let's get down to business. Let's get past the excuses and figure this out.
Yeah. If you can do that, then I can absolutely help you.
I'm curious. I just realized I didn't know the answer to something. I see some of the content you put out mentions like you transitioning from this job that you didn't like to like kind of like working all the time, kind of miserable, and then to what you have now. Was that your TV reporting job or was that something else?
That was something else. So after Miami, after the master's degree, then I started freelancing and doing like content creation. But then I got this opportunity to work for a photography company that worked in hotels, and these hotels were in Hawaii. So they were like, hey, do you want to move to Hawaii? And I was like, I don't really think I want to do the job, but I do want to move to Hawaii.
of the job.
Yeah. So I ended up taking that job and I worked there. I started working as like a branch manager for one of the studios. And then 2 years later, I was the director of operations of the whole company. They have like over 10 branches in Hawaii and then branches all over the mainland as well.
Wow.
So yes, I was the director of operations of this company. And while I was doing, it was very exhausting. I was working 60 hours per week. I had like no vacations, and it was a challenge. And I learned a lot about like business operations, hospitality, photography, you know, all these things that come in really handy now, because with everything I do now, I definitely take a little bit of what I learned in that job. But it was definitely not what I wanted to be doing. And of course, there was zero flexibility and freedom. So after doing that for a while, and when I was already the director of operations, I went up to my bosses and I was like, hey, there are so many branches and I can't really manage each one. Like, I'm not really in each branch every day. So can I just like work from home? I'll manage everything like exactly how I
Yeah, what's the difference, right?
Right, exactly. Like if I'm in one branch 1 week, I'm still managing all the other ones remotely. So wait, can I just do this from home? And they were like, no. This was over 5 years ago, and I would have been the first remote employee of that company. So it was new, very new to them. But eventually I was able to convince them to doing like 3 days working from home per week. Okay. So it was basically like a trial period that I did for like 3 months. And eventually, of course, I started getting so excited about my new setup that, you know, there are things that come with it. You're more productive. You want to really prove yourself because you like the flexibility and all that. So it was all really working out great. So after 3 months of that trial period, I was like, hey, how about since we know this worked in this trial period, how about I just start working while traveling?
Keep pushing the envelope.
Right. And of course, they were like, no. And then I kept pushing. I was like, how about this? How about that? I negotiated. And eventually, they allowed me to work while traveling. So that is how I transitioned to my first full-time remote job. It was the job I already had, but I transitioned. So I went from Hawaii to randomly picking a place that I've never been to. That was Buenos Aires, Argentina. And I moved there, which in now looking back, it was not the smartest because there's a 7-hour time difference. And I still had to be available from like 9 to 5 their time. So I was working odd hours, but I was working like 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., which is something that happens sometimes when you're a remote worker. You just have to adapt to different time zones. And I'm a night owl. So working from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. was actually fantastic.
Cool. Yeah. You had your mornings to yourself, and then you just work during the evenings when you're at your best anyway.
Right. No, I had the mornings to sleep.
Yeah.
And I had the evenings to work. And then when I stopped working at 11 p.m. in my day job, my regular remote full-time job, then I started building my platform, and it's a Travel OG. So,
okay.
Yes, from like 11 p.m. to 3 a.m., I would work on building my brand and all of that. So that's,
wow.
I mean, it's really cool that remote work gives you the flexibility because you don't spend time commuting. You're not as exhausted. Of course, you get a little bit more control of your time, even if you have a set schedule. So I would take advantage of all the time that I had left to build my brand. And then that's when I started over 5 years ago. My road to self-employment, which took a while.
that's some really good inspiration, though, I think, for people like, and I won't like regurgitate my story, but I have a lot of parallels with like my path that I took to get to like pure location independence. It was very stepped and organized and kind of planned out and you know, take one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back, get a lot of no's from people saying, no, we can't do that. And then eventually, Right. Yes, okay, we can do that. But like, I think that's something that can be overlooked sometimes. Like maybe you're not going to get like exactly what you want right away. Like maybe you're not going to transition from being a college student to full location independence and you're the perfect job that you want, getting the exact money that you want. Like you might have to, you know, cut one of those corners off and work your way up to it over the course of a few years or something, but keep your eye on the prize sort of thing.
Yeah. And a lot of people are like, okay, I want to work remotely. I want to do what you do. I want to be my own boss and own my own digital business. How can I start? And I was like, okay, first of all, let's slow down because there might be 80,000 steps before you actually get there. So people need to be really patient, creative, and hard, and work hard all at the same time in order to figure out what is exactly what they want to do and how to get there. So in my case, the first full-time remote job that I had was literally the first step. While I was doing that, I was building my brand. And while I was doing that, I started trying to get new, like a little freelancing clients here and there. Okay. So when I had enough freelancing clients and when I had already set up another source of income, then I moved, I transitioned that full-time job to remote part-time. Okay. So then after doing that part-time and then having my other projects where like I was starting at that point. So it was like little side hustles and online gigs here and there. So I did that for like maybe a year. So the part-time, I never left that job because until I was like absolutely ready, because you do not want to lose a source of income that's like stable. So I am never going to tell people like, just quit your 9-to-5 and start traveling the world and you're going to live your best life. Because no. You want to make sure that you have some income coming in and you want to do it in a smart way, slowly, so that your traveling can be sustainable. Otherwise, you're going to be really stressed out because you have no income and you don't know how to do things. So after I was part-time and freelance for a while, I started a business remotely, a cleaning business, really random, I know, but I started a cleaning business in Panama in which I had a partner in this business. They did all like the operations and hiring and training of the cleaning ladies. And then I would do like the marketing, setting up the website and our social media, all of that. And then I did that for a year and eventually it got kind of successful, but we just couldn't deal with it anymore and we sold it. So I sold it, then that was like a good income or
a nice little buffer to carry you over through a transition. Yeah.
Correct. And then after that, I went basically freelance, full-time freelance. And I did full-time freelance for a while. And then that is also when I started setting up like my passive sources of income. I published a book, which has done really well. It's on Amazon. That was my
What's
first.
It called?
So You Want to Vlog.
So You Want to Vlog.
Yeah. So
it's in, and it's in English?
Yes, it's in English. Yeah. It's on Amazon. And it's been a really good source of income since. So I am really
It's passive, right? It just keeps on coming in every month, right?
Yes. And that was the first source of passive income that I was building while I was freelancing. And then after like freelancing and trying to set up more sources of income, I started doing like affiliate marketing and things like that. Then after a while, I was like, okay, now I think I'm ready to just be completely independent and self-employed. And that happened 13 months ago. So I've been working remotely. My first job was like over 5 years ago, my first remote job. And I've been a full-time business owner for 13 months. So I love to say that because it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. Like, good for everyone that starts a business and in 6 months they're making 100K. Great, good job. But that is not how it usually goes for a lot of people. So I like to share my story because it's, I think, a more realistic way and a way for people to not get overwhelmed thinking that they have to make 100K in their first 6 months of working remotely. That just doesn't happen often.
It's so funny you say those numbers exactly. I'm literally having a conversation with someone right now, like a email thread back and forth with a young guy who got my contact information and you know, very brave, you know, and reached out and said, "Hey, I want to work for you guys. I want to work on your team. I'm looking to come into sales and work remotely, and I'm willing to work for maybe even under 100K a year. And, you know, I just graduated from college and I've done an internship and all these things." And my advice to him was like, you know, like, you may, again, like coming back to, you may have to work up to this. Like, that's great that you're willing to work for under 100,000. Thank you so much. but it may not exactly work like that. And you may have to take some stepping stones to arrive to this. Like, maybe you can go to Silicon Valley or maybe there's plenty of jobs out there where you can go make 100 grand, but it's going to be tough to just start right away and get full location independence, the job type you want, the company type you want, like a good work-life balance. One of these things are going to have to go probably, at least right away. Take some time.
This person needs to come over to my Instagram because I love to give people reality checks. Like, that's not going to happen that quick. You need to work your way up to something like that and to having all the perks. Because right now I have all the perks, like, yeah, making my own schedule, being my own boss. But it wasn't always like that. At the beginning, I had a set schedule that I couldn't change for anything. And I was not my own boss. And I still had to pick up phone calls and all, like, whatever time they wanted and all those things. So yeah, definitely there are a lot of perks that we talk about that are related to remote work, but you might not have access to all of them as soon as you start, even if you have a remote job. So yes, people have a lot of unrealistic expectations sometimes. And I love to remind people how it really is. Like last night, I just posted something like, if you send me this kind of DM on Instagram, I know that you're going to have a tough time landing a remote job. And those kinds of DMs are people that don't even say hi. So zero online etiquette. And they're just like, find me a remote job. One person said, find me a remote job. And then 2 days later, they messaged again, I'm waiting. And I'm like, wait, what? Yeah, just funny. Like, what? Like, wow. The audacity.
The audacity.
Yes. So yes, those are things that definitely let us know that those people might not succeed in the remote job world because they have zero online etiquette, because that's not how you do it. And also because they did not take 2 seconds to look around my Instagram and click on the free resources and links. So if you weren't creative enough or resourceful enough to just click around and find what you were looking for and just ask the person without even saying please, imagine.
Yeah, and I can also say, like, you know, it's worth for anybody that's listening and wondering, like, is it worth investing, like, not just your time in refining some of your skills or maybe just in the way that you present yourself? Like, companies, like at least at Duos, and when I talk to leaders at other companies that are hiring, like, we're getting thousands of applications for, like I had a junior level, like, entry level position that had people applying with like 10 years of experience for roles like this. Yeah. If you don't remotify your resume and your CV, like, you have to. And like the biggest piece of advice I would give somebody is, like, put yourself in the shoes of a remote company or a remote hiring manager. You know, somebody, like, they're going to mostly be communicating with you via the written form. So you can be the best verbal communicator in the world, but if you don't convey that in the written form and your application, the questions that you're asked, the CV letter, the cover letter, like, these are all opportunities to exemplify how awesome of a communicator you are via the written form. And that will generally separate like 80-90% of the applications. Setting experience to the side, like, oh, this person can communicate. We can probably teach you the skills if we need to, but, like, right, you're a good communicator, you can fit into the culture here.
Yeah. And a lot of the people that I help out with Remotify Your Resume service, for example, they're like, I've been applying to jobs for 1 year and I applied to 5 jobs with your resume and I already have 3 interviews. Like, how crazy is this? And I'm like, you have the skills, you have what it takes. You just didn't know how to write it on your resume. And that's what I help people with. So, and that happens with most of the people that I help with, that I help out. Like, they have what it takes, they just don't know how to convey it. So
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. It's totally worth investing in, like, your time and energy, and then also in professional help. Like we have coaches in our lives and all very, like, people in really good shape hire personal trainers to help them get in a little bit better shape. Like, if you've got a really good resume, like, maybe you need a personal trainer to help you get your resume to that next level, to get through the thousands of interviews or the thousands of resumes that are coming in for these jobs. Like, get someone to help you. You know, somebody maybe that we're talking to right now can help with that.
Yes. And it's also really rewarding because whenever I help someone with this and they land their first remote job, then first they're like, oh my God, thank you. And then 6 months later, they're like, oh my God, thank you. Like, my life changed. Like, I now can spend time with my kids. I can now have more time to crochet. I mean, whatever it is that they liked to do and they weren't able to, then they start experiencing it. And then they get to that level where like, okay, thank you. I've been doing this for 1 year. Now I need help with passive income. And I'm like, okay. So yeah, that is one of the things that I'm doing now. I'm coming up with a course to help people with setting up their first source of passive income. So,
when you've gained all that time back in your day, you can suddenly find yourself like, I have time to work my full day and then also, you know, create a podcast because it's what I enjoy doing. I think I saw there's a statistic I just recently saw, like the average American spends like 45 minutes a day in their commute. Like some people, obviously it's a lot longer, but add that up, 45 minutes a day, you know, 5 days a week, like, you're talking hours and hours of your week that could be dedicated to something else. And that's just the commute. There's other elements as well that are really exciting. Like when you think about the average number of hours someone works in the office, it's like only a couple hours a day, like on average about three. And so like right. If you're working from home and you're more productive than you are in the office, which is also typically true, like you can crush your work in a handful of hours a day, do better than you were doing before, and now you've gotten a few hours back again in your day. So there's the passive income thing is a really, really cool approach to tack on to your business model.
Yes, absolutely. I like to hear what people are telling me, what they need. So some time ago, they were like, I don't know where to find remote jobs. So that's how I got the idea to do the remote job directory. Then they were like, okay, so how do I apply? So I came up with my services and my course. Now they're asking me, okay, now I got the job. Thank you. What's next? How do I do passive income? And I'm like, okay, I got you. I'll make a course for you. It'll be ready in a little bit. And that's it. So yeah, it's really cool also to listen to what people need and then just create resources for them so that they can make it happen.
So cool. So cool. I didn't realize like our time's flown by here and there's so much more that I want to get into. So instead of going deep into a handful of things, I'm just going to ask you a couple questions here to wrap this up. And yes, just if you can ahead. throw out the first ideas that come to mind. So coming back to living in Mexico City, what generally speaking, not asking you to be a visa expert here or anything, but generally speaking, like, is that an easy thing to do? Like to just come and stay as a, both as a Panamanian, but then also just like if you have any knowledge to drop on generally speaking in Mexico and Mexico City.
So generally speaking, everyone gets 6 months to be here as a tourist for most countries. So that was what I did first when I first came here. Then I liked it. And then I was like, okay, so what do I do now? Because I want to stay longer. So there are different resident visas and they're actually pretty simple to get. In my case, it was. So you have to travel to your own country and go to the embassy of Mexico in your own country and then get like the first step of the resident visa process over there. And there is this visa in which you just have to prove that you have a certain income. And then if you can prove that, then they basically give you the resident visa. So that is pretty simple. And it's like $200 for a year. So that cool. was it. That was how it worked in my case. And I know it's the same for Americans. So it was pretty easy. Like visas are not that easy in a lot of places. So
yeah, it doesn't always work like that. It sounds pretty straightforward. Is there a major like waiting periods? Like do you do that and then wait for months? Or is it more like a formality? Like you go, you get it and you're back in Mexico.
Literally the easiest thing ever. I went to Panama for like 4 days, had my interview in the embassy, came back, and then you have to go to the immigration office here to actually get like your resident card, and that usually they'll give it to you 2 weeks later. So
wow. Yeah. Super easy. Wow.
It is.
Compared really to the Spanish bureaucracy that I'm renewing my visa as we speak, and I could say sounds very nice.
Yeah, when I tell you that Mexicans are welcoming, even the immigration office is pretty welcoming of foreigners.
That's awesome.
If you do everything right, if you want to come here and be with a tourist visa for the longest time, then they won't like that, of course. But yeah. If you get your resident visa, yes, you'll be good.
So following that up, where are some other places? I was hoping to get into this because I know you've done some significant travel, but are there any other, or I guess, what are some of the other countries you've spent, like, you know, quote unquote, significant time in, like, however you want to define that?
So after Hawaii, I moved to Argentina for a while. And that, I don't think that country in general is very digital nomad friendly. Mm-hmm. So yes, there's that. I also lived in like a mountain town in Panama for a while, which is where I wrote my book, because of course there was not much else to do. So it was really good for like, if you need to focus for a period of time on a certain project, then I recommend mountain towns. So yeah, I lived there for a while, but again, the internet was not very steady. So
this is important. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was tricky, but I mean, to write a book, you don't need super steady internet. So it worked out. and then I also did like a period of time in which I just moved all the time. And I moved like 1 month in, I lived 1 month in Chile, 1 month in Peru, 1 month in Argentina. Colombia. Then I also lived in Monterrey for 3 months. I loved Monterrey, wow. Mexico, another place I liked. I'm as you can see, I'm biased. I just like Mexico.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I also lived in Playa del Carmen for like a year.
So more
Mexico, but different places. And yeah, that's mostly where I've lived.
Awesome. And where would you move back to if you had to pick one? Is there a place, if you said, okay, I'm going to leave Mexico City behind, where might you go as a plan B?
Oh, I was going to tell you Mexico, duh, but then you told me leave Mexico behind.
Mexico City, Mexico City. If another place in Mexico is on the list. Playa del Carmen, okay.
Yes.
Good to know. Good to know. Beautiful. And then circling back to remote work, what is, you know, broadly speaking, what's the number one piece of advice you find yourself giving to your clients? If you don't mind giving away a little bit of free content here, which I know you don't.
No, absolutely. So most important thing is to identify your skills, your remote skills. Okay, so most people have remote skills already, so don't get stressed out thinking that you have to learn new ones. With what you have, you can probably already start working remotely right away, even if it has to be an entry-level remote job. So number one, identify your remote skills, and I have free trainings that I'm going to have up really soon that you can take advantage of, and that's the first step. Then after that, I would ideally want you to start learning how to find remote jobs, where to find them, and how to avoid the online scams. Because if someone falls victim to one online scam, they might be like, oh, remote work is not for me, because this happened to me once, and they might think that that's how it always is. So avoiding online scams and just getting the knowledge of what makes a real legit remote job and what doesn't. So those are some of the things that I would want people to do first. And then after that, just either learn how to remotify their resume, how to get creative and use tools like LinkedIn, and how to even use social media, not to like position yourself as an expert and all that, because that's just another step of the way, but on how to find jobs. Because if you are following the right people on social media, instead of just looking at funny memes and cat videos, you are going to be able to maybe find your next remote job. Like there's this girl on Twitter that I follow that posts a bunch of writing jobs. So if you're a writer, you have to find the people that are like her and follow them instead of following the people that just post recipes. And nothing wrong with recipes. I follow a bunch of people that post recipes. But
we're not hating on recipes here.
No,
just say
not
it.
At all.
You know, or cat GIFs and cat memes. No. I mean, we all love a good cat meme, but it may not serve you in finding your remote work.
Right. So definitely people that say that, oh, but social media is such a distraction. Well, it depends on how you use it. If you want to follow the right people and follow the people that will inspire you and teach you and motivate you to take your next step, then that's where it's at, right? So yeah, those are some of the things that you should be doing at the beginning of your remote job search.
Awesome. Such good advice. Like I said, I wish more people applying to our jobs at Doist would follow this advice. I hope that they will. Andrea, this has been awesome. Like I had so much fun learning a little bit more about you and your story and
the like I said, the content you put out is amazing, and the advice you gave here and your story is really, really cool. So I hope I'm pretty sure that people are going to get a lot out of this and learn quite a bit.
No, thank you so much for having me and for taking the time to share my story with your audience.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad you brought your you have the bird friend in the background that joined us as well. So
yes,
thanks to he or she.
Yes. The good thing is that it didn't join us for the whole thing, not just at the end. It's very
yeah. Exactly. It wanted to join in on the fun before we signed off.
Yes.
That's great. Well, yeah, thank you again. We'll have to maybe do it again sometime, and I look forward to continuing to follow the journey and see more of your programs coming out. And one more time before we sign off, just remind people the handle to go follow, and again, I'll add it to the show notes as well.
Yeah, so It's a Travel OG is my Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, everything, and itsatraveloG.com is where you can find my remote job directory and information about all the free trainings, my course, and everything that I have to help people with their journey.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you so much. And yeah, look forward to the next time we get to catch up.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in today from wherever you are in the world. Once again, I'm Chase, and this has been another episode of About Abroad. You can visit aboutabroad.com to get our latest updates and listen to past episodes, or find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, really anywhere you get your podcasts. On that note, if you enjoyed the show, feel free to subscribe, and if inclined, leave a few stars and a review. It's truly, truly appreciated and will help more wanderers just like you find us. Until the next time, adios from España.